Here we go.
Who the hell are you, man?
Genius, billionaire, playboy, philanthropist.
We are the Knight!
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Knights and Nerds 2 podcast. We're a podcast for all things nerd. My name is Chris. I'm here with
Sam
and Sean.
And on the Skype hotline, we have
Mission to Mars, John. I don't know. That one sucked. It'll be better next week.
I was thinking about going with Space Baboon Sam, but I.
Oh, shit. Yeah, well, spoiler.
Yeah. I'm
trying to tie in the Ad Astra. Aster, Ed Esteen.
No, it could be
Ed
any
Asner.
Space movie.
Ed Asner, yeah.
Space Cowboys 2.
Oh, God, that was
Sam,
a good
did
movie.
You know there's three people in that movie in Ad Astra?
Yeah.
Who's
Wait,
the third?
Who's the third one?
The guy, well, I don't want to spoil it, but, like, the dude who's, like, a coward and shit.
Oh, that guy.
He's in the other one as, like, one of the, like, ride-along. Or, like, one of the guys that has to train him or some shit.
Is that? Huh.
Yeah.
The more you know.
He looked familiar. Now I know Space Cowboys. All right.
So is everybody ready and squared up for fall TV?
Yeah, I am.
All right. You're all set?
Yeah.
Just saying this now because the CW verse starts on Sunday.
Oh, boy.
And I mentioned the verse because it's all of them. What's that 17 episode thing? Supernatural that starts next week.
That's not 17 episodes. It's
seasons.
Oh yeah,
whatever season.
It's going to be a shortened season. But
yeah. Boy, John, can you wait for that? Because I can't.
Supernatural or CW?
I'm just waiting with bated breath.
Well, Sean's probably going to watch the CW stuff. Just for the crossover.
No, probably. I'm probably just going to watch the crossover, honestly.
Fair enough.
No, I'll listen. I am over the top thrilled and excited for a TV show featuring a DC-owned comic book characters that is premiering on a channel owned by, in part, or at least somewhat in part, by Warner Brothers. There. I've covered all my bases.
All right. Well, anyway, what we're going to be doing this week, or this on this week's episode, we're going to review Ad Astra. There's two of us who've seen it, right? You didn't see it?
I didn't see
it. Yeah, so Sam and John are going to discuss that a little bit, and that's going to be later. And then,
Space team.
Yeah, we'll hear about baboons a lot. Anyway, and a couple of new shows came out. Evil on CBS, as well as Unicorn. The Unicorn came out, and that pilot aired last week on Wednesday or Thursday, I believe. But either way, Sean saw both of those, as did I.
Yes.
And then we're going to talk a little American Horror Story, because it started in the third week.
Tonight is the third episode, I believe.
So give a little update on that one. Yeah. Then two trailers, Birds of Prey and Uncut Gems. And then some news, but we're going to start with news first.
Yay, news.
Big news that you could either say you saw coming or didn't say coming. It's probably split 50-50. Spider-Man is back in the MCU.
Yay!
At least
on the crowd goes
two
wild.
Movies. At least two movies. So it's going to be the third Spider-Man.
Two solo.
Oh, I only heard they were going to do one more.
Yeah, they're going to finish up the trilogy.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be one more.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's unknown whether or not it's going to be a solo?
No, it is a solo.
Or if it's
The deal is he can go into any other film. But he has the
two more amount. Solos.
Yeah, wait, hang on. So they're like giving him like a blank check for any of the movies at this time?
I mean, it's
because he will be in every single one.
I know. Well, a lot of the rumors were that he was going to be in a Captain Marvel movie to make her more likable, because of it. I can see why people don't like her very much, because she's kind of cold.
And a woman.
Whoa,
let's be honest.
Sam, Jesus.
Let's be honest.
Thank God
Whoa.
We have a new computer to edit this shit out of this podcast.
Well, let's be honest.
Sam only speaks for 25% of the group. No, and even, no, then, that doesn't make any sense.
I do understand where Sam's coming from, though, because I like, of all the people I work with, I have one person who loves the MCU but hates Captain Marvel, and we were like 99% sure it's because she's a woman.
Yeah.
And she's a powerful woman, and that bothers him.
It's the same reason why people hated the new Ghostbusters, even though it wasn't bad.
No, it was that bad, Sam. It was that bad.
Who knows what the MCU is going to do.
Yeah, but it's funny because Marvel was like 50-50 split, and Sony was like, no chance, walked away. A month later came back, and we're like, is that 50-50 split still on the table? Marvel's like, yeah. They're like, we'll take it.
I thought there was 20-80.
Is it 25%?
I know whatever revenue. The original offer Marvel gave, that's what Sony agreed to.
It was 25%.
It was a 25%
revenue.
I know Sony still has the rights to marketing.
It was a co-financed.
Yeah.
Movie, but it's 25% revenue.
Yeah,
from it goes to Disney.
Disney still has merchandise.
Is it Disney has merchandise?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought Sony had merch.
They've always had merchandise.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
which is where a lot of the money is made. So.
Oh yeah.
It's almost like, God damn it, Stan! Why did you sell all this stuff in the first place? But well, then they again, were going they were bankrupt at the time. Money,
like. Well, yeah. He didn't though, because the person who was in charge of all this screwed him out of so much money.
Well, they were going bankrupt.
No, I know they were going bankrupt, but like when he wasn't doing very well, and then he said like Marvel ended up selling everything off, and as the movie started doing decent, he basically made nothing off of the movies. That's why they started throwing him a bone and actually having him act in the movies to give him a good paycheck.
Because
he pretty much made nothing off of the movies.
Well, he's never owned Marvel.
No, but he had the rights to the characters that he created. But the problem was when he sold them off, he basically... It was like something weird with the contract. The person who was in charge of his estate basically screwed him out of so much money. And then like even to the point where I guess like even his daughter like screwed him out of money and like left him broke in the like early 2000s. And that was like one of the big problems after he passed away, where like she's come on like Twitter and been like, this isn't what my dad wants. It's like, screw you. You didn't know what your dad wanted. You know, he basically cut you out of the will. Like, he didn't leave her anything because she basically left the family.
All right, let's stay out of depression areas.
So, BoJack.
Well, I was going to say, so Spidey's coming back.
Yeah.
That's good news for everybody. Kevin Feige is still producer, so everybody's excited about that.
Yes.
And then it's still possible you're going to get your Venom crossover.
We'll see.
They're talking about possibly bringing the Venom into
the MCU.
There's going to be a overlap. Instead of it just being Spider-Man, Venom in their separate thing, they're talking about actually getting a little bit of a mix in there.
All right.
But who knows? Who knows? And again, after these two movies are up, then they might extend it or go even further.
Who knows
what's going to happen?
This did have the feel like they were negotiating in open. Yeah. Where the reason they were sending out all those things was neither party wanted to walk away, but they were like, we can't reach a deal in private negotiations, so we'll do our negotiating in public.
Yeah.
Which is what we said once Sony and Marvel parted ways. We said exactly that.
Mm.
So you heard it here first, folks. We called them out on this.
I'm sure.
We're 1 in 75.
Well, anyway, moving on to other news. BoJack.
BoJack. So season 6 drops soon, but Netflix announced this will be the last season of BoJack Horseman, which for those who listened last year, I believe I said BoJack was my favorite returning TV because season 5 was phenomenal. It was hilarious and depressing. And it was just great. All like everything that's perfect about BoJack was in season 5. So I've been very excited about season 6 now. But it is very depressing that it is going to be the last season.
Yeah, but 6 is a good run too.
Oh yeah,
like I said before,
especially for Netflix shows.
Yeah, I mean,
given the climate for them nowadays, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not getting a short run.
No,
I mean,
yeah.
Six seasons is a good, healthy amount for a TV show.
Oh, yeah.
Even animated.
Yeah.
Yeah, even animated.
So,
is it Netflix doesn't want to renew it, or they're just... Netflix. Or is it kind of mutual, or is the...
No, Netflix doesn't want to renew it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's got to be a viewer number. It's
interesting because, you know, Netflix just fucking throws money away. So.
Right. It was more or less that they... It was probably that they were asking for a lot of money per season because it's so successful now on Netflix that it just was like, we could take this money, split it three ways, and do three brand new TV shows and probably make the same amount of money.
Or viewer numbers as well.
I guarantee you viewer numbers are up on BoJack.
We'll never know.
I know.
We'll never know.
I know enough people who watch this show that... I mean, it's no like Stranger Things or anything, but it is a huge hit on Netflix.
Ah,
oh. I only know one person watches it.
No, if I say that,
I'd say it's probably.
I mean, even.
All right, I'll go. I'd say it's like B tier. Netflix. It's not their like A league, but it's,
what is what? Their A league?
House of Cards, House, Stranger Things,
yeah,
Stranger Orange Things, is the New Black,
The Crown.
Those are your A. Those are your A-listers right there.
It's the ones that I might have heard of. It's not the ones where I like I'm scrolling through Netflix and is like, what the hell is that? And why are there why is there three seasons of this before I've heard of it?
Yeah, those are bad. there's a lot of those.
Oh yeah.
All right, let's move on to trailers.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Why don't we do Uncut Gems?
Okay.
So this came out on the 24th, I believe.
Yeah, it came out a couple weeks ago, a week or so ago.
Question to the group. Is yes. Adam Sandler trying to be serious now?
He's always had serious movies.
Because this is a pretty serious role.
Yeah, he's
role.
Done yeah. this before.
Yeah, yeah. Spanglish okay. was pretty serious. Oh, God, what was that 9/11 one?
Rain on
Rain, yeah, that one where
I've heard that was maybe okay.
Yeah, with Don Cheadle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Funny People, sort of more yeah, dramatic.
That was like a dark comedy more than anything. Because, yeah.
All right. Well, either way, it looks like it's a movie about a guy who gambles a lot.
In Boston,
because is it Kevin Garnett, right?
Kevin Garnett's yeah, like, there, so that gives us
the time. I think it's New York.
Oh, is it New
York?
It looks
like New York.
Oh, you know, I wonder if it's when Garnett was playing for the Nets.
Yeah, but he was betting on the Celtics.
Yeah, the ring had the shamrock. Clover.
Yeah, it had the shamrock on it. Okay.
Shamrock, that's the word, not clover.
Yeah. I'm mildly interested in this movie. I'll
admit it has gotten very good buzz about Adam Sandler's acting.
I've heard the buzz. I don't see it in that trailer. Especially when you say Adam Sandler's acting.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler's like a very competent like actor when he feels like being, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't think he's like great, but like I think he's pretty good in Punch Drunk Love. You know. even some of the comedies before, you know, like I think, listen, like the last, what, 15, maybe even 20 years now. Nah, we'll say 15. Last 15 years, he's pretty much just been phoning it in.
Mm.
I don't know how much, you know, you could say the preceding 5 or 10 years was phoning it in or not, but I would definitely say the last bit certainly has been. Mm. But I'm pretty interested. I checked out the directors, the Safdie brothers.
Yeah.
I checked out the previous film, which is like their debut on Amazon, called Good Time. I saw like half of it, but it was pretty good for what I saw. I had your boy, the new Batman. Oh, I can't think of his name.
Robert Pattinson,
who I think is actually legit, which maybe we'll have a little Lighthouse review coming up in a couple weeks here.
Yeah.
I think we might have gotten Sean on board.
Yeah, I might be on board for the Lighthouse. It looks with pretty Lighthouse. Good. Yeah. I'm liking it. I don't know.
So we might have a three-person review on that. Ooh,
a three-way.
Yeah, well, three-way.
Everybody's just phoning me in on that one.
Yeah.
Chris will hold the camera.
Yeah, right.
But yeah,
apparently you don't need to when you film
the lead Witch, though, with this trailer, and like we don't have to spend forever on it, but like Kevin Garnett is in this movie as Kevin Garnett.
Yeah,
he, like, seems to be maybe not like a major person, but like definitely not a cameo. Like he's in multiple scenes.
And the Weeknd is in this movie. Idina Menzel,
Mike Francesa's in it. Like yeah. it's very.
It's got people.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
maybe not the people you expect.
Hopelessly intrigued.
I don't know. I'm just nothing about this trailer like pulled me in. Where it just was like, oh, it's just your bog standard crime drama.
Well, yeah, that's what it feels like to me too. I'm not saying I'm going to go see this. It's just it looks like, oh yeah, no, it could be a decent movie.
I mean, if like. Everyone's saying it's a decent movie, then maybe I'll hop on board, but...
Half of Boston's going to see this movie.
Well, it's in Boston, so yeah.
Well, not just that. You get KG, and Adam Sandler is almost a New England actor, because he's always...
No, he's a New York actor.
Yeah, but he's always...
No, but he's from New Hampshire. Yeah. He films this shit around here now.
He always had... For some reason, I thought he always rocked some like New England school or state... attire in his movies. But for that reason, I think half of Boston's gonna see it, mostly because of KG. But
yeah, it's the KG. They love KG for that one. What was that one championship he won up here?
Yeah, well, there's another run he had too to the finals, so yeah. Game 7.
Yeah,
those are good years, man.
All right.
Yeah, right. It's I don't know. It's interesting. Mildly interested in this.
All right.
All right. Anyway, but the big lead, which dropped, what, 2 days ago?
Yeah.
The Harley Quinn. Oh, no, wait.
Yesterday.
Birds of Prey
trailer. And the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn.
So my question with this, is this a team-up movie? Because it doesn't seem like one from the trailer.
What do you mean by team up movie?
Like the Avengers or
kind of Suicide sort of
Squad even.
Yes and no, because the Birds of Prey. So it's all so Black Canary's there, Huntress is there, obviously Harley Quinn is there, and Ewan McGregor plays. Black Mask, so he's the bad guy
without the mask.
Yeah, what's
supposedly. It's a trailer. That's a trailer. See what happens in the movie.
Yeah.
So, anybody else getting Suicide Squad flashbacks from that trailer?
My God, yes.
Kind of. It's definitely one of the more incompetent trailers I've ever seen. But still.
Oh, my God.
I was watching that, and I was like, oh, my God.
Incohesive. Incohesive. Not incohesive,
yeah.
But incohesive is probably better.
I thought
word.
It was a good trailer, but you're right. I had no idea what the fuck's going on.
You know what it reminded me of, though?
What?
Not like, obviously the style is more Suicide Squad, but just the incohesiveness is the Joker first trailer. The first trailer of the sure. Joker. You just had no idea what was going on. The second one cleared it up a little bit more, but the first one you just...
I guess. God. Yeah, but this is different. This one wasn't just like, what's going on? It's like, look, here, we're throwing stuff that you remember from Harley Quinn. Here, look, there's hyenas now. See, her pet hyenas. Oh, and there's other stuff, too.
So, like, correct me if I'm wrong.
Go ahead.
But I've always gotten the vibe that Harley Quinn... was always supposed to be a tragic character, not an inspiring one.
She started as a tragic, but after her success in the Batman animated series, she did spin off to become more of an inspiring character.
Almost a hero.
Yeah, no, yeah, she's kind of like an anti-hero now in the comics, right. Where she's been romantically involved with like Poison Ivy. So she's bisexual, even.
Whoa.
So, which
helped. I mean, how do you not see that coming anyway?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we have
an emotionally damaged woman. Of course she's bisexual, because that's how it works.
I wasn't going that far.
Man, Sam, you're like, between last week and this week, is everything okay?
It's going through dark times, man. Become so cynical and...
this whole thing was just like, it was like between fan service and just like I hate to say it because, I mean, I've been critical from the beginning, but like shitty voiceover work. I don't.
Yeah.
She is.
Mark, like,
Robbie, she's a good actress.
She's a good actress, but this didn't seem that good.
And like, my issue with her in Suicide Squad was that the accent, like, she slips in and out of the accent every once in a while.
Oh, she definitely did in this one.
Oh my God. She didn't have an accent in this one. She didn't have anything. Oh, it was all over the place. All
right. So I'm not talking about the accent. The style.
Yeah,
she doesn't slip it in and out.
It's Brooklyn accent or Queens or whatever.
Yeah, she slips in and out.
But she doesn't even have it.
No, she slips in and out.
It's like,
I made a point to notice this. She says there. It's supposed to be there, not there.
Yeah.
Especially when she's
all over the place.
It's definitely in and out of New York accent, and that's it, though. There's no other...
And like,
but that doesn't... That bothers you.
I know it bothers me, but like...
It doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, but like, it bothers me when the person doesn't have... Like, when their vocal like tendencies change all the time. Like, yeah, it bothers
me. Did you see... I'm sorry, side note. Did you end up seeing The Great Wall?
No.
Can you please watch that and tell me about Matt Damon's accent?
Well, there's a reason why that got like
I know, just horrible reviews. I need somebody to watch it.
I feel like one day I probably will watch it. It's just like a stupid monster movie. Or was Jimmy Kimmel call it a stupid Chinese ponytail movie?
I'm not even gonna.
No, he said that at the Oscars.
Oh, he did?
Okay. Yeah, because he was making fun of Matt Damon for starring everything. In that. Yeah, continuing their feud.
That's it. I'm down for this movie.
I'm
100% down for this movie.
I wouldn't say I'm 100% down, but you know what? Like,
I cannot wait to see this movie. I don't know why.
Ewan McGregor makes me excited, but
he's the only part of this really movie where I'm like, all right, and I didn't get enough of him for me to like have a good opinion on whether or not he's going to be good in this.
I want to see. I'm very excited to see how they do Black Canary. Like, very excited.
It looks like she is more towards the comics.
Yes, but because it's also
her singing, because she's a rock star in the comics, so it's her singing there. Because there's the shot of her singing, and there's the martini glass shaking.
Yeah. Like, so I want to see how they do it, because we've seen it on TV, obviously, but I want to see it in the movie.
You know what would draw me in? Show me other characters that I haven't seen before.
I bet you're going to get that in the second trailer.
Hopefully.
You know what I totally got from this? You mentioned you feeling like this is like Suicide Squad. I totally could see them being like, oh, by the way, Black Mask isn't the villain. He's just a side character. It's going to be this random person here. And just pull in a complete, 180 Suicide Squad on us. Like, showing up that, oh, this big name actor is going to play the villain. And then it's just like, he's not. And that's going to piss me off.
Who's Black Mask? Is it Ewan McGregor?
Ewan McGregor.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's like... Totally feels like the Suicide Squad trailers where they're like, but Joker's the villain because we hired Jared Leto to be him. Like, oh, right. Yeah, that makes sense. And then you watch the movie. It's like, oh, wait, no, he's not even in this movie.
I'm wondering if a lot of the blame for the Suicide Squad movie has to be with the people who created the trailer.
No, it was with Warner Brothers.
No, DC. I
good trailer.
No, but do you see where I'm going with this? Like, the trailer obviously determines for you three.
Yeah,
a trailer determines whether or not you go see a movie or if you don't go see a movie. For me, it's whether or not I want to see it. We've already determined that.
Right.
That said, the Suicide Squad trailer, you're right, clearly focused on the Joker.
Yeah.
As the villain, which is entirely not the case.
Right.
What if they were to switch that out
and
make it Enchantress / her brother? I know, I forget the name.
We're going to call him Steve.
Those two, if the trailer was more catered towards this is the villain.
Yeah.
You know, and don't even have the Joker in the trailer. Just don't even have him in the trailer at all.
Yeah.
All right.
You would have different points of view.
Well, obviously.
Yeah, I would have realized sooner than later that this was going to be a stupid movie.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't even realize, like, the Joker's not even the villain.
Yeah.
So why did I just sit through the second half of this entire movie?
So why did they even make this movie? That's my question.
I'm just telling you.
I know.
Perception with a trailer could determine ratings.
I know. But like, you lied to me once. Shame on you. Like,
yeah, like my approach to this movie is I've been hurt too many times by DC.
Yeah.
Like, and I need Shazam to like something wasn't about good DC. Enough to heal the wounds.
Okay.
So like, I'm going into this like, oh, this is gonna be incoherent mess. Like, oh yeah, Suicide Squad.
It looks it has that feeling that it's gonna be just as like, bad as Suicide Squad.
Hey, we're gonna have Suicide Squad, but no Slipknot. And I'm like, you lost me, man.
Took out the best part. So I think I've come to this realization with DC, and especially I think what's really sort of hammered at home is all the stuff with the Joker in the last week, all this like fucking controversy or whatever, which we don't really have to get into. But, you know, say what you want, man. DC fucking goes for it. And like, I used to hold that against Marvel. I don't anymore. They're doing their own things. They pump out some good stuff, but it's all real safe shit. Like, let's just be real.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's really nothing. There's no risk.
Well, Marvel's like, getting into that now.
I'm fine with it. I'll still go see most of it, but like, you know, at least the DC stuff though, like they're trying to do something a little bit different and a little bit nuts sometimes, and that's what all I kind of see with this. So you know, yeah, I'll probably go see it unless it's if it's getting like absolutely awful reviews, that might dissuade me. But it looked way better than I thought it would.
I mean, this. No matter what, this movie's making $1 billion because it's coming out in February, and there's gonna be nothing against it.
I'm not so sure about that.
Remember how, like, okay, Sam? Remember how like not bad Shazam was?
Yeah,
it's like the lowest grossing of all the DCEU movies.
Yeah, but nobody really knew who Shazam was.
I know, but still,
people know Harley Quinn.
Yeah, but I like.
And Margot Robbie's like a real.
Oh yeah, Margot Robbie's gonna get people. I don't know who the
Shazam guy even is.
This was
Zachary Levi.
Levi. Yeah.
He's not Margot Robbie.
No, I know. Well,
someone's not a fan of.
He's not a hot blonde. So yes, you're right. He's not Margot Robbie.
Yeah, he's a hot brunette.
I mean, he was in what was that show he was in?
Chuck. I just mentioned.
Yeah, he was also he's Finn Rider in Tangled. He does the voice.
He's also like Shakespearean guy from the Thor movies.
Yes, he is. Yeah,
it's like straight up
in 2 and 3 because he wasn't in the first one because of scheduling difficulties with Chuck, I believe.
Shall we move on to
Chuck, man?
Yeah, no. Apparently, Sam watched Chuck.
It was all right.
Yeah,
yeah. It wasn't great.
It wasn't great, but like, you know what?
Yeah.
There's worse ways to spend. What was that like? Was that an hour long show?
Yeah. Was it really an hour long?
Wow, I can't.
Believe like the thing was comedy. Too. You couldn't really start in the middle. You kind of had to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's move on to the premieres. Two fall premieres, both on CBS.
Let's do it.
Why not? Let's get into it.
Sam, did you watch any?
Nope.
John, did you watch Evil or... But
hang on.
I didn't know those were even on the docket, so no.
Before you... Can we start with the unicorn?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So I have a theory. I thought of it today.
All right. Let's...
And I want you guys to tell me who watched it.
Yes.
My vibe to this is... So you know when you're taking the dog out, a dog's taking a shit, and it does like an audible fart, and you kind of giggle a bit? Is that what the show is? Where it's like, it's worth like a tiny giggle, but like, that's it.
I like the dog is keeping constant eye contact. You're trying not to laugh because you know it's going to make it embarrassing.
I can't stand that when my dog looks at me when he does that.
I am so thankful my dog just, she's like, don't come out with me. I have to poop. Don't come out with me. I'm really? Like, that's fine.
It's, you know what's awful is that at night you do... I'll do it in the backyard when I do take him out.
Yeah.
And then it's like dark and there's woods and everything. And I shine the flashlight at him. And it's like the dog shadow blows up. And it's just the dog looking at you. Oh, it's, yeah. That's...
To answer your question, yes.
Because like, I'm just thinking about this. Like, the show can't be terrible, but in no way is this good.
All right. So I was very skeptical of this show.
You were. And for some reason, I was interested.
Yeah, Chris was... So So how I look at this is, I went into this like, this is going to be stupid. And after watching that half hour episode, 23 minute episode, I had commercials because, CBS is retarded. Yeah.
Whoa, sorry.
Whoa. We're from New England. It's tough not to
make that better.
Yeah. If you're from New England, yes, it does.
And if you're from the South, it doesn't give you permission to use the N word. I mean,
all right. It was stupid. Man, really my apologies. My apologies. I am sincerely apologetic for the use
of CBS makes you watch ads.
Commercials, yes. Yeah. And that is dumb, and I don't like it, but whatever. So it was a half hour for me. Either way, my thought coming out of watching this episode was, so this was a failed movie attempt? Because I don't know, where you go from
how
here.
How many shows are failed movies?
Yeah, because like, so the first episode is basically him getting back into dating. And I'm like, that's cool. So is that going to be every episode, like new girl every episode? Seriously, you can only do that for so long.
They're probably going to build out his dating, yes, but they're probably going to build out his relationship with his kids.
They kind of already do in the first episode.
Yeah, but it's probably going to be even
he
more.
He literally sits, he catches his oldest daughter about to have sex with the neighbor kid.
Yeah.
And they go out to Waffles afterwards, and he's like, I don't know what to do. This was mom's job. And like, they're like, oh, bonding moment.
Yeah, but that's
like,
what they're trying to establish. That's what they're trying to establish.
Yeah, but I mean,
in fairness, the pilot's usually like a everything buffet.
Oh yeah. It's exactly what it was too, though.
Yeah.
But but the best thing I think about the show, the thing that I found probably the most humorous is mm-hmm. is the interactions with the friends.
Yes. Yes. That the four friends are great.
The four friends, and it's just I forget the guy's name, but of the two, the white guy.
Rob Corddry?
Yeah. He's just like, oh, so this girl talking to the thing. It was in the trailers.
Yeah,
so
where he's like, yeah, you go
fine.
Over to her.
She's fine. He's like, you go over to her fine. Yeah, she...
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, and Rob Corddry is...
I have to admit, I was... Once you started talking me back from the ledge on this thing...
Yeah.
Because I was very much about to fall over the ledge. You talked me back, but after watching it, I mean, I'm running straight for the ledge on this thing. I'm going full overboard.
I will give
this
a second episode.
I don't know why. Me and Christina watched this.
Yeah.
So me and my wife watched this, and we're older. We have a kid. And it's shocking how much we related to this. Not in the sense that, you know, your wife dies and you date and everything, but it's like being out of the dating game for so long.
Oh, yeah.
This is probably what it would be like if, you know, either one of us has to go back in there. Or for you, for that matter.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like, just, this is what it would be like, and you know that all of this is true.
Oh, yeah. I say that all the time, like, to people who are, like, in the dating game that I work with and whatnot. I'm like, I don't know what I would ever do if I got back in.
And it's just the little things that you never would have expected. So when he's sitting down for his first date and he finds out his wife died, and then she gets up and leaves, but then he gets up to follow her. And then it's like, not the walk of shame, but it's like the walk of proud moments. And all the guys are like raising their fists in the air.
Yeah.
like giving them, pretty much giving them daps throughout the whole walk. I thought it was wicked funny. You know we what? Both thought it was wicked funny. Well,
one little criticism. My God, there's a lot of single moms on that soccer team.
I only counted the one.
No, because then there was the one at the party and like...
That was the same one from the...
Oh, was that
the
same one?
The sidelines at the field. Notice. Yeah, that was the same one.
Oh, okay. Who liked his chili.
Yeah, that was the same one.
Yeah.
I don't know. We found it hilarious.
So when Rob Corddry's wife sits down with the eldest daughter after she gets caught.
Oh, yeah.
And she's trying to explain everything. And she's like, now when we get aroused, and she turns to the boy, she's like, now you should listen up to this part. And it like cuts away. Yeah, no, Rob Corddry and his wife, whatever, I forget the actress's name, but they are pretty funny in this show. So are the other two.
I don't know.
Just the other two, I'm like, I know you from somewhere, but I don't know where.
Just like, I don't want to lie to my kids, and they just start laughing at the dinner table. He's
like that's all I do. I drive them places, and I lie.
I don't know. It was really funny.
I will, like I said, I will give this a second episode. Like I was definitely actually kind of surprised
for half hour drama comedy.
I mean, it's not laugh out loud comedy, but like,
but it's dog farting comedy.
It's dog farting.
Yeah, but I bet you there will be some laugh out loud moments
coming. I hope.
So, like, counterpoint, are you guys just washed as hell now?
Just what?
Are you just like super washed up that you're watching CBS comedies now?
Are you at that point?
Is that what the mid-30s has to offer?
No, I watch a lot of NBC comedies. Thank you very much.
Are you at that point where you're like, I'm ready to die?
Yeah, this is just a layover between when Brooklyn Nine-Nine comes back.
Oh God, yeah, I can't wait for that to come back. Superstore came back recently.
If they start ending up watching Blue Buds, we have to do an intervention.
I will never watch
Blue Buds. I'm not a Blue Buds fan, man. At this point. Sorry, my DVR,
there's nothing like, listen, let me tell you about Blue Bloods.
So John's the a Blue Bloods rush fan.
Of like being at your parents' house at Saturday at 2:30 in the afternoon and them realizing they forgot to watch Blue Bloods but have it on the DVR ready to go. Let me tell you something. It's incredible.
What is that? Is that with you and your parents? Because my in-laws is NCIS.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I don't know if that's actually happened, but that pretty much has happened.
NCIS is like the spicy Blue Bloods.
NCIS. Every weekend I would go to my in-laws and it would be NCIS.
We have our first confirmed case of someone who actually watches NCIS.
Yeah, and it's not me.
Yeah, but so you know someone.
So NCIS, I do know someone. Whether or not they stay awake during it is a different story. But.
NCIS is a spinoff from JAG, right?
Is that what it is?
Mm-mm. No.
Which one's the JAG spinoff?
I don't think any of them are.
NCIS New Orleans.
No, NCIS is the Navy. Giants. The Navy investigators.
Yeah,
right?
So JAG. No, it's a spinoff from JAG.
No, that's. That's a leap. If there
was JAG was about lawyers.
I mean, like Air Force lawyers or something.
Yeah, NCIS. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
NCIS was a spinoff from JAG. Ha!
Was it?
I don't remember. Was it a tie-in because the episode? The lady, like Bones to the Finder.
I don't know. But the lady from JAG, I guess she's coming. I saw like this is gonna pertain to none of our viewers, but she's going to come on an episode of NCIS as her character. It's like the first time she's been back since JAG has been canceled.
That's like saying The Wire is fucking Homicide: Life on the Street because Belzer's in it. That doesn't count. That doesn't mean it's a spinoff.
No, I literally just Googled JAG spinoff and it says NCIS and the second spinoff is NCIS New Orleans.
No love for NCIS Los Angeles?
Nope.
The kid from Friday Night Lights, the QB, is in NCIS New Orleans. Only know it because it's on at the gym.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Well, there's our NCIS talk.
Well, CBS. All right, continuing. Evil.
Another show. Sorry, Ernest Borgnine, rest in peace.
The name of the show in the description of the show is kind of in a wheelhouse of horror.
Right, no, so that's why I wanted to watch it.
Why not give it a shot?
Plus, it's got Mike Power Coulter. Man.
It's got Mike Coulter in it. And I have to say...
And the daughter from Westworld Season 2.
I have to say this. Mike Coulter, gun to my head, totally would do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't even need to put a gun to my head.
Oh, yeah.
Voluntary.
That is one sexy man.
Good to know.
I'm glad Chris found out why Sam doesn't really like the girl stuff anymore.
I like how Sam was like, gun to my head, and you were like, no gun needed.
No gun needed. Yep. He is one of the most calming voices ever.
I just feel would feel safe in his arms.
Yeah, no, that's true. That voice makes me feel safe every time I hear it.
So it stars Mike Coulter and Katya Habers, if I pronounce that right?
I don't know.
She's psychologist.
She's the daughter from Westworld Season 2.
Anyway, it's about a psychologist and a wannabe priest who...
He's training to be a
research whether or not serial killers are...
It's like possessions and hauntings and whatnot. Yeah.
I think the whole thing's
Asif Mombi's in it, which I was like thrown off by because I was like, I thought Avatar ended his career, but apparently it didn't.
You know,
once you're in Spider-Man 2, you're in films forever.
He's going to be the level head throughout the whole thing, and which is fine.
I really like his character because he's like... Oh, yeah, you hear that demon voice? Nope, it was the dishwasher.
Yep.
It's like he brings it all down.
You hear the whisper, it's the pilot light. The stove was out.
Exactly. So I liked, of this first episode, I liked the first, I would say, 45 minutes to 50 minutes, with commercials, obviously, of it. So, most of it I liked.
Did you like the demon?
Oh, yeah, no, was it George? Yeah, that George was George. George was pretty cool.
For a TV show.
Demon George.
What is this show about?
We just told you.
It starts off with
Really? Okay, sorry.
There's a serial killer who's getting interviewed by a psychologist to determine whether or not he's sane. And then there's a guy who Michael Coulter thinks he may be possessed by a demon, and then that's where it goes.
And then she ends up
figuring that out.
She ends up teaming up with him, and he works with Asif Mamvi's character. Like they're work together,
almost ghost hunters. It almost
the way this show was going, I was almost like I was so close to jumping on board till the ending of this episode. It seemed like how this show was going to go is them going from serial killer to possession, kind of a new case every week kind of thing. And but obviously mix in with personal life kind of stuff. And I'm I like these three characters. I think I could deal with that. That seems like fun. But then they introduced the character at the end.
Yeah.
Who was not Artie Ziff. That's from The Simpsons.
I forgot. Was it
Zep from Saw? That the guy from Criminal Minds and Lost and that literally the guy
Michael
that,
Emerson.
No one cares about his name. You just know that every time he shows up you're like, "Oh, this bastard." He's like a sniveling asshole, and it turns out that it's kind of subtly mentioned he's the evil one because he stole all of her notes and fed it to the serial killer, and he helped the serial killer do all these things and coached him through everything.
You're right. It took a turn.
But it went from being kind of like the X-Files where every week they solve a new case. It went from that to they're going to be battling this guy the whole time. And I don't want that.
No, I don't want that show. Either. But then again, we could be wrong because in a couple episodes, they could really just do a villain of the week or whatever it is. And then just slowly bring him in sort of like the overall story. Well, it
looks like he's in the
show.
Second episode too. So that's what's I didn't see the second. I watched previews for next week and he's in it and I'm like,
I don't know if that's a good thing. I have a feeling this might be a one season
show. If that's the case, cuz you know what it kind of it almost felt like was it The Following where it's you got the main character and then he's trying to catch the bad guy and it just kind of feels like the same kind of plot almost where it's, you have the three main characters, they're all good people, and they're following the bad guy around trying to catch him to slip up or something. When I don't get it, they have him. They're like, here's all the evidence, you're doing what you did. And yet he's still not arrested. How do you not arrest him out? Here's all of the chat room stuff you said to this person. And on top of that, you're trying to get this guy off in court, so you're basically lying under oath, which is a crime within itself. Like, there's just so much wrong with that. Like, how is this guy not arrested? I don't get it.
That's a different show too, though.
What do you mean that's a different
show? The Following?
No, I know that. No, I'm talking about this Evil. Because he was there in court.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
He was talking like, oh yeah, in my opinion, this stuff. It's like, well, you've been talking to him. You coached him through the murders. So right there, you're an accomplice to murder.
Well, who knows if they...
No, they literally throw, like, they're like, here's all the evidence that you've been talking to him. They have it in their hand. Like, that's what happens at the end.
Oh, you're right.
When they confront him, they're like, you did this. And he's like, guilty as charged. And then they just walk away. Like,
yeah, good point.
The hell?
Good point.
You literally have him.
I don't know. I don't think they're...
And lying under oath.
I don't think they have enough.
He was lying under oath. That's something.
I don't think they're going to have enough viewers to keep this thing going.
No, I agree.
I don't think so.
And, which pisses me off because, like, the first, three quarters of this show was great. I loved it. Yeah. I was, like, glued to my TV the whole time. It was
pretty interesting. So, all right, moving on. Let's move on to the anthology.
All right.
And then we'll get to Ad Astra. So, American Horror Story finally came back.
Yep. 1984.
Apocalypse is on Netflix, by the way, if you haven't watched it.
Yes, I saw that.
It's definitely not one of the better seasons.
Right.
But that said, who knows with 1984, two episodes have been out, third one comes out tonight.
Right. I only watched the first one because I just wanted to, like, dip my toe in the water.
Yeah.
Feel the temperature. So this one is more of a 80s slasher film vibe, which I have to say, spot on.
Yep, I agree. And you do notice throughout the whole movie, the whole episode, both, you haven't seen the second.
Right.
They take pieces from all the 80s movies, right, slashers and horror movies, and then they throw them all into one. They actually have some music tones from each as well.
Okay.
So the Michael Myers theme song, that sound is in some of the songs. Okay. And then they also had the... Some Nightmare on Elm Street, I think it's in the second episode.
Yeah.
Tones coming into some of the music as well. But it also has every aspect of every horror movie you could possibly think of in the first first episode. You have the insane asylum.
Yep.
And then that's Michael Myers, obviously. And then you have the lake house, the cabin.
Mm-hmm.
That's Friday the 13th.
Oh, yeah. It's very much Friday the 13th.
If anything, it's Friday the 13th. But... Okay, so the thing with the first and second episode is it's going to be like Roanoke, where there's going to be about three kind of stories all mixed into one, mm-hmm. only because the first two episodes you're going real quick. You're moving fast. And eventually you're running out of bodies, so you have to fill the void a little bit. But I'm American Horror Story, I'm still in with this,
always. I think, so John Carroll Lynch plays Mr. Jingles, who is the serial killer, maybe, because it's American Horror Story, you never know. But he plays the bad guy, at least at the beginning of this show, and which I'm finally for so long. I mean, he played the clown. What was the clown's name? Wasn't it Jingles the Clown? All right,
in a few, not Sideshow. Huh?
In a few seasons.
Yeah.
He came back a few times. Freak Show. There was Freak Show, and then he came back again.
In Roanoke.
Was it Roanoke?
Wait, was it
clown? No, it wasn't the clown in Roanoke.
But there was a clown at some point in the more recent ones.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't Apocalypse. I think he's been around for like three seasons.
Cult.
Yep. Jingles was in Cult.
Yeah, it was Cult because I remember the babysitter freaking the kid out with stories about Jingles.
Right. But
can't believe I remember that.
But I look Sam's at this
contributing.
Guy. Good job, Sam.
Wow.
But I look at him, which is funny because I will forever remember him as Drew Carey's cross-dressing brother from The Drew Carey Show. That's what he will always be to me. My God, how has he never played a serial killer, like a true serial killer.
Oh, whoa! Let me tell you about a little movie called Zodiac.
Zodiac, yeah. Except, was he?
Yeah. No, you don't know.
You don't know.
You don't know.
He was a like that. That's the thing. Like he, but he wasn't truly the serial killer because the whole point of the movie is maybe he was, and it kind of set it up like he was, but at the end, it's like, but he probably wasn't, but who knows? But like,
well, if he was the Zodiac, he wouldn't tell us. So
right. But my point is like, he's a big guy, and like he, especially in this with the long hair, he's very crazy looking.
Yeah.
He's an excellent actor on top of that, but like, it's just it's weird that it's taken this long for them to be like, yeah, no, he needs to be our main bad guy. Like, he's a scary dude if you don't know him from anything outside of, you know, if you've never seen the Drew Carey Show. But yeah, like I said, it feels like a 1980s slasher film, yep. Which
they keep the theme going is throughout good, the first couple episodes,
but kind of bad because, like you said, eventually you run out of bodies.
Yeah, and it's not just that. It's you can only. I think my the thing with this show and the thing with the show is you have to change it up in order to keep the viewers interested for the 10 episodes that you're doing it. They've done it in every single one so far, and they're going to. And I really hope they do because I it's like Apocalypse where you couldn't really stand being in the bunker for the first four episodes. Oh, yeah. You had to get out.
Yeah.
And right now they're at the camp and it's two episodes deep and they're still at the camp. They're trying to get away, but they're going. They need to start switching something a little bit. And unfortunately, there's something in the second episode that makes me less interested.
Okay,
they go a little bit more. I don't want to say spiritual, but more ghostly.
Okay. I can see it going that route.
Yeah, though. But I kind of don't want them to stay on that road. Yeah. I kind of want them to go off a little bit more. And I don't know, but I'm very excited. It's all 1980s. Everything's 1980s, from the Olympics to the music to the clothes. Granted, you can't really mess up when you're doing a period piece like this, but
Weird thing to me. I understand, but at the same time, I'm like, really? Was like how they all got to the decided to go to the camp. It was all all of a sudden,
Freebird.
Emma Roberts is like, I just met these people for the first time ever, and then she gets attacked by the Night Stalker, who's a real serial killer, by the way. Gets attacked by him in her home, and so immediately. Less than 12 hours later is in that car on the way to the camp to be a counselor.
Yep.
Like that just seems a little quick and you'd think she would have to stay around. She makes
poor decisions probably.
I guess so.
She's still alive in the second episode.
Oh, okay. I figured she'd,
spoiler alert, but she'd I feel be, like she's the main actress.
I feel like she'd be alive for a while. I mean, I was very surprised when she died in Freak Show. So at that point, I thought she was going to be around for a while, but I was wrong.
Yeah.
Because she's kind of a big-named actress. Because it's pretty much her, Billy Lord, and then...
Which we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, we have.
No, we have seen that. I'm sorry.
The other girl.
Who am I thinking of? The Supreme, the head coven. Head of the coven.
Oh, Sarah Paulson?
Yeah, is she doing
it? I don't think she's doing this season.
Because I was wondering, we should have seen her by now.
Yeah, I think Evan Peters is done. I don't, because he and Emma Roberts broke up, apparently. I saw that on Yahoo. Oh. Yeah, because I totally care about that stuff. It's just popped up. I was like, oh, look at that. I thought that, I guess they're not dating. So I don't think Evan Peters is back. Sarah Paulson, I don't think, is back. Obviously, Jessica Lange is done. She just came back for last season as for a few episodes.
There's a bunch of new.
Yeah, there's well, the guy who played the Antichrist in the last season.
Yeah, he's in this one.
Patrick Swayze's brother is in the first episode, which I found hilarious.
Well, there's
he's the mechanic who dies.
Yeah,
that's Patrick Swayze's brother.
Oh boy. Well, anyway, I'm still interested in this thing. Second episode is still going strong. I'm into it.
All right, I'm down.
Definitely recommend it for those who are American Horror Story fans because they still don't lose their horror kind of overall
I feel structure. Like the problem with this show for me, at least for the last like few seasons, is it's always kind of the same. It's like, here's our storyline, but from point A to point B, they kind of stray a lot and like do side stories and stuff, which like up until like Roanoke, they really didn't do. Like, Roanoke was kind of the first one where they kind of strayed from the main storyline. But it was, like, for a good reason. It was literally, like, two stories. Whereas, like, I mean, like, I just feel like with, like, Apocalypse, it's just, like, it was all over the place, like, what was going on.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff going on.
And, like, there was no need for, like, half of it.
Yeah.
So,
it was one too long, I think.
Yeah.
It was one too long. I need to go back and watch Roanoke. I really like that one.
That was a good season. My favorite season, though, is still The Asylum. That is by far my favorite. Because it was like weird, because it's like, oh, but there's aliens. It's like, what? There's aliens on top of all of this? And yeah, that was a good episode. Season. That's probably my favorite.
All right. Let's let Sam and John have their...
All right.
Hey.
I'm going to put my feet up and fall asleep.
Space team.
Yeah.
Space team.
We got like a truncated podcast then, I guess. All right. Well, let us take you to the movies and into the far, far away of the stars. All right. Ad Astra, which actually means what, to the stars or something like
that?
Yeah,
I believe so.
Is a movie starring Brad Pitt. And Tommy Lee Jones and Donald Sutherland and some other people, directed by James Gray, who previously, I don't think he's done anything really big, just like Lost City of Z and some other stuff a while back. Anyway, so this movie is set in what is described as the near future, but seems like somewhat distance-ish future.
Yeah.
Like, I would think at least like 60 to 100 years from now, which I wouldn't exactly describe as near, but okay. Anyway, set in a time when humanity has begun to colonize the solar system, including the moon and to a lesser extent Mars, and is starting to reach beyond or at least explore beyond the solar system. And so, you know, I guess what's essentially happened is that there's been these power surges that have been very disruptive to Earth and the moon and some of the other planets. And it's pretty much determined by the space. Well, what is it? Space Command?
Yeah, Space Command.
It's like militarized version of NASA, essentially. That it's coming from this project, which was Tommy Lee Jones was a part of, that was essentially flying ship out past the heliosphere to collect information about all the other planets and, you know, to get the best look they could at, you know, all these other planets in search of
the search for extraterrestrial life. Yeah.
Anyway, so Brad Pitt's essentially tasked with going to find this, and, you know, they think the Space Force, whatever, they think that, so this program, the Project Lima or whatever, had pretty much gone and disappeared off the charts, like 10, 12 years ago, something like that, like a significant long amount of time. They've lost contact.
Anyways, go on.
Brad Pitt's essentially sent to go meet up with his dad, pretty much, because they find out, you know, he's alive. And
well, first he's
it's a very, like, you know, need to know sort of thing.
Yeah, first anyway, he's sent to Mars.
But... 2001, if you took out... Oh, sorry, I think my connection's breaking up a little bit. Were you saying something?
Yeah, no, I said first he goes to Mars to try and send a message to his father. And, like, to be like, right. Hey, stop.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like I was saying, the movie's a lot like 2001, except if you took out the aliens, the crazy computer, and the monkeys, although not entirely with the monkeys.
that, totally. There is a moment. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. But did you find, though, it's a lot of, like, ooh, here's what it would actually look like if we colonized the moon. Like, ooh, there'd be a subway there, and, like, everything would look like an airport. And then you get to Mars, and it's all this, like, shitty, like, underground, like, world that seems like pretty, you know, it seems like a pretty shitty situation to be living in.
Yeah.
Like, the look of the whole place was like a abandoned subway station.
Did have that feel, yeah, definitely. But
so what did you think overall of the movie, Sam?
So just general picture, I thought it was a pretty good movie. My whole vibe from this movie was this was Heart of Darkness in space.
Another way I've heard it described. Oh,
or should I say Heart of Darkness in space? Feel like you always have to say that when you say in space, but it was like, for me, it was like if 2001 leaned a bit more on, like, philosophy rather than hard sci-